Country Club FM.
I sent you a list of the Gone But Not Forgotten. It's right here on my email. Let me...
Email.
Uh-huh. No, not email. Text. Let me see. I'll just redo it.
It didn't come through.
It shows here that it did, but you've been having technical problems all morning long. Man, we couldn't tell because you're just so good at hiding them.
Yeah. Well, when I reset my modem, that cured my headphone problems. Okay, we're good to go.
It is the Bob Almanac today. Welcome to the Almanac Wednesday, January 17th, the 17th day of the year. Our patent of the day just happens to be the cable car. And, I mean, it's no surprise where this was patented, right, Neil?
Well, it would have to be on the West Coast, I would think.
No, land of make-believe.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers with the trolley.
Sure.
It was Andrew Smith. Andrew Smith Halliday of San Francisco with a cable car, 1871. I haven't been to San Francisco. I assume they still have cable cars. It's just too romantic not to have them.
Oh, they've got to.
I'm assuming they had those. And there was a time when Minneapolis, Twin Cities, had quite a cable car network way back when.
Yeah.
Those were cable cars. Now we got the light rail.
Light rail, yeah.
1871, patent of the day, the cable
car.
Do they still have
Rice-A-Roni in San Francisco, too?
They better. And there's a cable car on the Rice-A-Roni package. They go hand in hand.
It is the San Francisco treat.
1920, this date, is the first day of Prohibition. The 18th Amendment to the Constitution had been ratified by the number of states that needed to ratify it yesterday. So it took effect here today, first day of Prohibition. It would last until 1933. It was the Volstead Act, was the actual Prohibition Act. And, of course, Andrew Volstead was a congressman from Minnesota. He's the guy who got the thing going. And of course, Homer Simpson had this to say.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
1920, Prohibition this date. 1950 this date. You know, if we didn't have Prohibition, we probably wouldn't have mixed drinks.
We probably wouldn't.
Because people were making their own alcohol, and it was so bad they had to mix it with something else.
Right.
Cranberry juice, orange juice, soda, whatever it was. We wouldn't have had the mixed cocktail, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah,
we don't know.
You don't hear about Whiskey Coke on Gunsmoke.
They don't.
It was just everything was just straight up.
Or a Windsor 7.
Right. It just wasn't happening.
How about 1950 this date?
On the 16th of January, 1950, seven men let themselves into Brink's Armored Car Company at North Terminal Garage, Prince Street, Boston. Once inside, they put on grotesque Halloween masks to disguise themselves. They all wore identical navy jackets and chauffeur's caps, gloves, and crepe shoes.
This was the great Brink's robbery, 1950. He said January 16th, but they actually entered the Brink's offices before midnight, and then the actual robbery took place then on the 17th, after midnight. 11 men robbed $1.2 million in cash and $1.5 million in securities and bonds and checks and money orders. It was seen as the perfect crime until one of the members of that group, I don't know, all of a sudden got a conscience or whatever, 6 years later decided to confess.
Oh, boy.
And that was just days before the statute of limitations was about to expire on it.
I wonder if he knew that, if he had that information available.
I don't know either, but...
So they all got caught.
Yes. There's a 1970s, mid-70s movie about it. It's free for anybody on YouTube if you have an hour and 56 minutes here today, if you'd
probably
like.
Probably pretty interesting.
Yeah. 1977, this date.
You're the one we're cooking for. Our best is fresh food you'll adore. Our grade A eggs cooked on the spot with pure pork sausage sizzling hot. It's
breakfast, McDonald's breakfast, made from the very best ingredients. We do it all for you.
We start out with...
Very best. Is that sausage really the best pork? Is it? I don't know. But anyway, it's edible at least.
It's not Jimmy Dean.
No, McDonald's started serving breakfast nationwide this day. They've been testing it for the last previous couple of years before this, 75, 76, whenever, in various markets. But they went nationwide with it, 1977. The Egg McMuffin is pretty much, you know, whether you go with the Canadian bacon or the sausage, it is the perfect breakfast food. That
it
was
is
a
very
state,
good.
1977, breakfast came full-time to McDonald's. And there's one time they went full-time breakfast. You could get any time of the day. They don't
right.
do that anymore.
No.
It wasn't what they had thought it would be. Another introduction here this date in 83.
Hot Pockets, when you want a hot meal without a big deal.
Hot Pockets,
ham and cheese.
Pizza, please.
Barbecue, it's for you.
The crispy hot meal without a big deal.
Hot Pockets, get ready to burn your mouth. Either it's really, really cold and still frozen in the middle, or it's just very hot. Hot Pockets introduced this day in 1983. Now they have Lean Pockets as well.
Right.
And
those little silver sleeves.
And for more, yes, well, that's what they came up with. That was a great innovation.
Yes.
And quite a development in being able to make things crisp is the sleeve that's got the conductive material that gets hot, but at the same time doesn't spark up your microwave and make it explode like regular tin foil. But if you really want to hear from a expert, an aficionado of Hot Pockets, you got to listen to comedian Jim Gaffigan.
Never really see that on a menu when you go out to dinner. You know, let's see, I'll have the Caesar salad and the Hot Pocket. Tonight's specials, we have a sea bass, which is broiled, and we have a Hot Pocket, which is cooked in a dirty microwave. And that comes with a side of Pepto. Is your Hot Pocket cold in the middle? It's frozen. But it can be served boiling lava hot.
I love Jim Gaffigan. He is
I do too.
He's hilarious. Hot Pockets. Hot Pockets introduced this date, 1983. And in the boxing ring. You know, we've got a pretty famous boxer, I do believe, in the Gons, but
yes,
not Forgottens.
We do.
But I would say there were none of his matches. The whatever it was the Rumble in the Jungle. It didn't matter. This was the biggest boxing match of all time.
From Ogden, Utah, starring in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, made his professional singing debut at 4, 23 gold records with a 9-year period, 5 feet, 9 inches, weighing at 145 pounds, child singer, teen idol, comeback kid, wearing red with white trim. Ladies and gentlemen, he's won Bad Apple, Danny the Stormin' Mormon Osmond!
Donnie Osmond in one corner, Neil, and who's in the other corner? Any idea?
Former child star of the TV's Partridge Family, found by the National Enquirer to be dead, broke, and starving. Saved the Canadian man from suicide. Signed on with the Loop this year where he does nights. He is 5 feet, 7 inches tall. He's wearing the black and white shorts. He is weighing in 155 pounds. He's buffed, he's pumped, and he smokes 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Danny the Tattooed Fanny Bonaduce!
So you've got the Stormin' Mormon against the Tattooed Fanny, Danny Bonaduce, on this date.
You know, it just really doesn't get any better than that.
And celebrity boxing was born. And celebrity death match then soon followed.
Right.
Donnie Osmond versus Danny Bonaduce. Bonaduce ended up winning a split decision. He had a bit of a weight advantage, a little bit of a reach advantage, and he took that to his advantage. And the fact that he smokes 3 packs a day did not hurt him at all.
Well, that's credit to him and it's his genetics, but I would have thought Donnie Osmond was taller than 5'9".
All of those stars are short.
Yeah, I guess they are.
I mean, the only one that we know how short is Danny DeVito. But it's surprising. We know he's short, but it's surprising sometimes you see some of these. Either you meet him in person or you see him in relation to something like, you know, up next to a refrigerator or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, he can't even reach the eggs.
Yeah, that's
right?
a problem.
That is a problem. So we have birthdays now today.
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader. Oof. He also said, people will come, Ray.
Yes.
He's been in a lot of things.
If you build it, they will come, Ray.
So, James Earl Jones, 93 here today.
How many voiceovers and things did that man
do? Well, he's got a great voice, certainly. Yeah. And now you know, because you didn't know because you didn't watch the movie, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. Because he's Anakin Skywalker. Yeah. Oh, you did know that. Okay,
yeah,
all
I
right.
Know that.
So, James Earl Jones, Darth Vader, just said he is the father. Maury Povich has something else to say.
In the case of five-month-old Liam Drake, you are not the father.
So Darth Vader just says, I am the father. Here comes Maury. Maybe Luke Skywalker, because he did not believe it at first. He didn't know. And then eventually he came to his senses, and he reached deep inside and read his feelings. You know, feel your feelings. That's something that a Jedi does. Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Or he could have just gone on Maury.
Well, that was the other option there. But sadly, Maury wasn't doing any shows there at Cloud City.
Ah.
He was not. I think he was possibly, I don't know where he was. I think it was with Jabba the Hutt. Probably doing a show with him there on Tatooine. But anyway, so Maury Povich is still with us at 85. How about this guy?
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year.
We know he wasn't at Alderaan because that got blowed up.
By 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line.
So we got Steve Earle here today, 69.
Very nice.
Everybody knew that he made moonshine.
He can play the mandolin. Can he play the bagpipes? Is he the one playing the bagpipes in this song?
I don't believe so.
If he had the time, he probably could learn because he's a talented man.
He is skilled.
Steve Earle, 69.
Every time you go away,
British singer Paul Young.
Yes.
68 today for Paul Young. And every time I hear this song, it makes me think of the end of Uncle Buck. No, not Uncle Buck. It's the other one, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where he and Steve Martin are walking down the street with his trunk.
Yep.
And it's basically the instrumental version of this song at the end of that movie. So happy birthday, Paul Young. We got the funny Steve Harvey today.
All right, Chad, we got two strikes. Ferguson family can still talk to 100 women. Name something of Steve Harvey's you'd love to see.
His muscles?
His muscle. Let me tell you something. It's something to see under here.
Oh, yeah.
Other than my stomach, if you would just not focus on the midsection area, the rest of that boy is nice.
He's the Family Feud host, and he's hilarious.
He's good.
He's, you know, there have been different hosts, and they're all different. And
they are.
Steve Harvey's got his own thing going on. He's 67.
6 o'clock already.
We don't need to mention when he got the Miss Universe thing wrong.
No, we've talked about that.
It's a Prince song, sung by the Bangles and Susanna Hoffs, the lead singer. And oh, those eyes. Oh,
I like
those eyes. Haunting when she was following the camera in that Egyptian song.
Yeah, she's great. Good song.
Here comes the chorus. Are you ready for it? Susanna Hoffs is 65. This guy helped us in 91.
Chili Davis launches one. 2-0, Minnesota.
Chili Davis, big part of 91. Switch hitting DH, hit some dingers for us. And
sure, had a real
one,
solid
that year. That one right there, left field game two of the 91 World Series. I might be in that camera shot because that was maybe 10 rows in front of where I was sitting in the same section. That
nice.
Chili Davis home run. Early in that game, Chili Davis here today. He's 64, born in 1960. Jim Carrey.
Sorry. I'm just so excited to talk to America with real-life Americans. Hey, George, check it out.
He's got a pretty good Joe Biden, does he not?
That is pretty good.
I'd love for him to say, I got two words for you. So that's Jim Carrey, very talented actor, comedian, impressionist, physical comedy is his strength.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Jim Carrey, 62. We got a first lady of the day. Michelle Obama, 60. She's a big Kid Rock fan, too.
Kid Rock, and I'm the real McCoy. And I'm headed out west, sucker, because I want to be a cowboy, baby. With a top left back and the sunshine shining. Cowboy.
He dabbled into country music.
West Coast chillin'. Oh, yeah.
He's a rocker, kind of a rock rap, but I don't know. He kind of transcends a genre here or there. Kid Rock is a 53. Our rapper of the day is Lil Jon. He's the one with the grill. He's the one with all the gold in his teeth. It's really impressive. He's 53.
The neighbors might think, say, what's in this drink? I wish I knew how to break the spell.
Zooey Deschanel. This is from the movie Elf, Neil.
Oh, yeah.
You know this one better than A Christmas Story, I think.
I do.
She's in the shower singing, and then all of a sudden there's Buddy the Elf there with her. She was also the new girl. Zooey Deschanel is 44 and a country artist today.
Oh, I've never seen him.
Amanda Wilkinson of the Wilkinsons is 42, Neil. That's stunning.
Yeah. Still nice, nice voice. Father, daughter, son trio from Canada, right?
Yes. They had two Canadian number ones. Obviously, 26 Cents was their big hit here. This was the follow-up called Fly, aka the Angel Song. And Amanda Wilkinson, 42.
Gone but not forgotten today. You know, he's really one of our founding members, founding statesmen, and did a number of good things for us. It is Ben Franklin's birthday today. He was born on this day in 1706.
What about inventor?
He was a pretty good inventor. Knew how to fly a kite. He had skills. And he'd be 318 today. The great Benjamin Franklin, born on this day, 1706.
He invented the pot-bellied stove, pretty much. He had the Ben Franklin stove, and he patterned that over his body style. Did you know that?
You see pictures and depictions, and they are similar. You know, in the early days of silent movies, we had the Hal Roach Studios that did the Laurel and Hardy, and then Max Sennett was another guy who did a ton of silent movies. Early movie director, 1880. Al Capone, he was a bad person, not afraid to take a baseball bat to somebody's melon.
But it wasn't him, though. Well, right, he would never do it. He always had to have his Goombas do it, so there was plausible deniability. Or did he ever do it, and somehow they were able to trace it back to him?
In his inner circle, if you were in his inner circle
and you gave up
information or something, he would do the job.
He would
jobbing,
do it personally.
So, yeah. And then he died, I think, a very awful death in prison. Al Capone, 1899. One of the funniest ladies of our generation has to be Betty White.
Oh, hi, Rose. The ceiling in your room leaking, too?
No, Dorothy. I just finished milking the cow I keep in my closet. Gee, with only 3 hours sleep, I can be as bitchy as you.
She finally gave one back to Dorothy because Maude B. Arthur always zings Betty. It was good to see Rose throw one back at her right there.
Yeah, she did a good job. Married to Alan Ludden from Password fame, and she spent a lot of time on the program too. The great Betty White. Eartha Kitt, also born on this day in 1927. You may have liked her as Catwoman in the Batman show, and a fine singer, actress. Eartha Kitt.
Santa Baby.
It's Catwoman.
I said ridiculous, nonsense, foolish prattle. How can Batgirl be the best anything when Catwoman is around? No best-dressed list is complete without the addition of the Queen of Criminals.
The Queen of Criminals. They had to fit in that tight spandex or whatever it was back in the 60s on that Batman show. That could not have been fun trying to slip in and out of that.
No. Most of us boys were not, not afraid to watch, though.
No.
The Great Eartha Kitt there, 1927. Vidal Sassoon had a number of hair products, and he was a fine hairstylist, 1928. Jacques Plante was the first goaltender to, you know what? Maybe it's a good idea to put a mask on with this puck flying at my head at 120. And he said, yeah. And then every goaltender kind of since went with the mask. One of my favorite baseball men of all time, Don Zip Zimmer, 1931.
He wasn't that good looking, though.
Have you ever thought of anyone else?
The only person I thought of for more than a few seconds was Don Zimmer, and that was just to pull in the reins a little.
Zip was, you know, affectionately called Popeye, and there was a bit of a reason for that, too. Don Zimmer, 1931. She, along with her friend Lamb Chop, was a very talented entertainer. Puppeteer Sherry Lewis.
I would say one of the greatest female ventriloquists of all time.
Yes. Yeah.
Lamb Chop, how would you look who's here?
Hello, Sherry.
Lamb Chop.
How the heck are you?
Wowee! Have you got alcohol on your breath?
That's right.
Have you been drinking?
Nah, I just gave my tongue a rub down.
Young lady, have you...
That is good. She is skilled, no doubt. Sherry Lewis, 1933. He's the greatest, the champ, Muhammad Ali.
I'm so fast, man. I can run through a hurricane and don't get wet. When George Foreman meets me, he'll pay his debt. I can drown a drink of water and kill a dead tree. Wait till you see Muhammad Ali.
Bit of a poet, too.
He was. He had a style about him, that's for sure. Three-time world heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali, born on this day, 1942. Of course, Cassius Clay then changed his name, the great Muhammad Ali, 1942. And one more, one of your favorites I know, too, Andy Kaufman.
This morning, I heard a very good joke from my cousin Baji.
Oh, from Baji. Oh, well, let's hear it. I love a good joke.
Okay. Di bani to si vede kasha bole kisi piti ko devi. Bonasato
leve sine bote. Good luck, Louie. I don't think he speaks Latka.
I don't think he would have gotten that one.
Thank you very much. That was his foreign man character that then transferred and became the very popular Latka the Mechanic on Taxi.
Great. Andy Kaufman there, born on this day in 1949. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
The All Request Lunch Hour will be live today from the Buffalo American Legion Post number 270. Will there be a Neil Freeman appearance?
Yeah, since this is kind of the last one I'll be able to attend for a while. I will miss it dearly, but so I'm going to make it out there today.
Alan Jackson, That'd Be All Right. Tracy Lawrence with Alibis, or Eddie Raven and Bayou Boys.
I think it should be Alibis today.
W2PM.